In Paris 100 years ago, a newspaper headline made history. It was a front-page headline about a story that had been around for 4 years. A French army captain named Alfred Dreyfus, a Jew, had been convicted of treason for allegedly selling military secrets to Germany. His family said he was railroaded and campaigned for his exoneration. They won over the publisher of a young newspaper. The paper was called L'Aurore, and the man behind it was a politician, but as historian Eugen Weber of UCLA says, he was a politician out of office.
The man was a very peculiar political beast, a man called Clemenceau, who was a Republican politician, and that, especially in those days, meant not of the right, and a very pugnacious man, but who had been caught in a scandal of recent date a few years before and failed to get himself re-elected to Parliament. So Clemenceau was sort of floating about, which for a man of his pugnacious character is the most boring and irritating kind of situation. So,
do you think he was spoiling for a fight with someone?
You're absolutely right. He was spoiling for a fight, and any fight would be good.
So at a time when French papers, parties, and politicians were either pro or anti-Dreyfus, Georges Clemenceau's newspaper took up the pro-Dreyfus banner. When another officer was charged with the spying for which Dreyfus had been wrongly convicted, and when that officer was promptly acquitted, Clemenceau's newspaper published an open letter of protest. It was written by novelist Émile Zola. 200,000 copies of the paper circulated 100 years ago today, January 13th. 1898.
You've got to imagine what it looked like, because you had a front page which was about the size of the New York Times front page, with the top third of it in big, bold, black letters. J'accuse. I accuse. You couldn't miss it. And people didn't want to miss it. They bought it like hotcakes. And it was a scandal.
Jürgen Weber says it's too simple to say that the Dreyfus case pitted the cause of justice against the authority of the French army. At that time, he says, France, which not long before had been defeated in the Franco-Prussian War, lived in terror of German spies, real and imagined. And when the Dreyfus affair heated up after Zola's open letter, the country was divided over all sorts of issues: militarism, anti-Semitism, injustice.
Suddenly, this affair breaks, and as it breaks, political instability grows worse. There are gangs of anti-Semites, and there are gangs of anti-anti-Semites. There are duels galore, people shooting or cutting each other up all over France. High school teachers, university professors, newspaper men, and of course lots of officers.
Alfred Dreyfus was ultimately vindicated. Georges Clemenceau went on to become premier of France. Émile Zola was tried for slandering the army and cleared on appeal. But Eugen Weber says his literary standing peaked with the publication of J'accuse.
It is also its culmination and the beginning of Zola's decline. Zola had finished his great series of novels in 1996. He was starting another series which nobody reads today, which is a pity, but there it is. He was running out of inspiration. He was more interested in his mistress and the children he had by her. In a way, this gave him a second wind. But when the Dreyfus affair was over, when the Dreyfus affair was over in 99, he was finished. His books started selling less and less. Fewer people paid heed to what he had to say. And then in the fall of 1902, he died.
Eugen Weber, professor of European history at UCLA, spoke to us from member station KCRW Santa Monica on this, the 100th anniversary of Émile Zola's open letter on the Dreyfus case, J'accuse.